of Psalms. Psalms 46. Psalms 46, to the chief musicians for the sons of Korah, a song up on Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh worse the seas under the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you know exactly what's in our hearts, and you know where we are. You know how your word has been given to us to nourish us and to strengthen us. We pray that, Lord, where we are in different places, apply these truths to our hearts and show us yourself and show us the refuge. Show us our strength. Open this portion of Scriptures to us and enable us to remember it as we live this life on this narrow road that we're on that leads to life. Keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus. In His name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this sermon, very simple, is The Solid Rock. What do you think that, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we get with each other and we ask the question, and we do that all the time, we do it, I'm sure, that we do it when we visit with each other in those brief moments after we introduce our, welcome our guests, and then we ask, you say, we kind of go through and we have that little 5 to 7 minute brief fellowship and confusion at times and trying to get to everybody, and we ask the question, how are you doing? And in our casual conversations the answers are, well, doing good, doing just fine, I'm blessed. But I wonder if we were to ask the questions, if we can get a little deeper than just what's at the surface. What do you think our answers would be? And I want you to know the walk of faith that we're on, the life that we live, the life of faith is on that narrow road, and it is a very difficult road that we're on at times. This morning's question in my Sunday school class, I think the question was, when you become a Christian, your problems in your life are very few, or hardly have any problems or difficulties. And I went around the room and I said, what do you think the answer is? 1 to 5. One would be strongly disagree with that. And I think everybody in that room said, 1, I strongly disagree with that. That as we live our lives, that at times the walk gets very difficult. Psalm 46 is one of those, one of my favorite psalms, and I have a lot of favorite psalms, lots of favorite portions of Scripture. It was in 1977 that Frankie thought he was a beautiful February day, that she was outside in the backyard. She was watching some children that were brought over to our house. And Frankie wanted to go outside, beautiful February day, kind of like we're having today. 50, 60 degrees, and it was there early that morning. I had my business there on Highway 51, my watch shop, and she went out there with the children, and she was picking up trash and sandburst, and she raced up, and she was smelling, and she said, "Now, I wonder if somebody's barbecuing, honestly." And she turned around, and it was our house that was on fire. And so our house, it was engulfed in flames. And it was a couple of days later on a Wednesday night in this very building that I was introduced for the first time to that great hymn that we sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I did not know that hymn. It was Martin Luther's hymn that he based upon Psalms 46. Some of you, and I'm not talking about Martin Luther King. I'm not talking about the one that was busy in this nation in the 50s and 60s. That I'm talking about Martin Luther, the mighty man of God, the reformer that was used in a mighty way in the 1500s. And he wrote that hymn based upon Psalms 46. What I find interesting about this is that here was a man that was a mighty sledgehammer, if you will, in destroying the lies that were in Roman Catholicism. And here was a man who had an interest in publicly proclaiming the fact that man is right with God on the basis of faith in the Lord Jesus and Him alone. And it was there that he nailed those 95 theses to the church at Wittenberg. And when you begin to look and see a little bit of all that follows this man's life, that eventually he ended up at the Diet of Worms, which was kind of similar to what we have in Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives, those dignitaries that had the power over those that lived in Germany. And there he was brought before these. And he was called upon to recant and to deny all that he said and that he had written concerning the things that he nailed on the church at Wittenberg. And there he stood. And many of you have seen pictures or images of it. That here he stands with a Bible in his hand. And he makes this statement, "Here I stand, so help me God. I can do no other." And when I think about this man and I think about this hymn that he writes, that there was a time in this man, at times he was a man just like you and I. That there were valleys and difficult times that he had experienced. Matter of fact, that there was a season that he spent in the Burg of Wartburg. That was a place that one of the powerful people in one of the regions there in Germany had put him up for safety because they were really after him and trying to put him to death, and they were after his life. And there he spent much time there. And it was, they tell me, I had never visited Wartburg. I've been in Eisleben and I've been in Wittenberg and some of those places. But I had never been at Wartburg. But they say that Luther at times had experienced such a presence of the evil of Satan in his life, that he took a bottle of ink that he used, and back then you was writing with quills, with ink, and he took that bottle of ink, and in his mind he was throwing right at Satan. They say that to this day that stain is still seen on that wall. But there was another time that Katharina Luther came, and she looked at the language, the body language of Martin, and she says, "Martin, ist Gott gestorben?" She asked him, "Martin, has God died?" And of course, you can just imagine how he responded. He would say, "I'm sure that why would you ask that?" But there were sometimes valleys that he would go through, and difficulties that you go through. Now, I want you to know, every one of us who are joined to the Lord Jesus by faith, I want you to know, every one of us, there are times that we go through valleys. And what do we do then? I believe this psalm is one of my favorites because, first of all, the psalmist is saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Our God, He is a refuge, protection, shelter, shield. It is God that is the protection, the shelter, and the shield. I want you to know there is nothing. When the soul is troubled and there are all kinds of things that come our way, where do we go to? Where do we go to? Money or technology? Or what do we do? What is it that actually, where do we find rest and the refuge and the protection that is so needed? He is saying, the psalmist, He is our refuge, our protection. He is our shelter and our shield and our strength. I want you to know, when you look at people's lives and God's people, and we discovered this morning that God's people, all that live godly, shall suffer persecution. And when you think about all that comes our way, that at times we get weary, we get tired, we get pressed down. And when I look at people's lives and I see what all happens in people's lives, and sometimes we ask the question, how do people live and how do they cope and how do they manage with not having God in their lives as their refuge, protection, and shelter and shield? How do they do that? I want you to know they don't. There's all kinds of different things that they do and take to in order for them to get through the day. Can you imagine living without God? Can you imagine living without the Father and without the Son? Can you imagine living without the Holy Spirit and without the Word of God? Can you imagine living without God's people in our lives? You know, why do we come together as God's people? Well, we come together for worship. We come together to recognize and realize that He is our God and we are His people. He has laid hold of us and He's given us a heart and a desire that we bless and praise Him corporately. But we also come together to remind us who we are, sometimes because of the pressures that we're in, isn't it? Isn't it good to come together and somebody puts your arm around you and to say, you know, I love you. And I appreciate you. And that I'm praying for you. And all we have to do, let's be very honest, that as I started, you see, in my introductory remarks, how are you doing? Ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. I saw my brother-in-law yesterday in the hospital after a quadruple bypass. And he said, you know what happens when you're in the ICU? You've got every possible thing connected to your body. Your tubes running here and things glued to your chest. And there are bags hanging off of these racks. And then there are the monitors. And I asked him, I said, how are you doing? And you know what he said? He said, I'm doing pretty good. Then the former brother-in-law that was sitting there by him, I hadn't seen him in a number of years. He's dealing with, I think, Parkinson's. And I turned to him and I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing pretty good. And then I said to one to the other, did you all go to the same school? I think that's the only lesson that you all learned. Somebody asking the question, how are you doing? We're doing pretty good. But let's be honest. I mean, let's just be honest. When you think about that, the psalmist is saying here, that He is our refuge, and He is our strength, and He is a present help in trouble. Oftentimes when people get in trouble or things happen in the course of our lives, whatever happens, and we somehow or another think that if I just change locations or change this or that, maybe it'll get better. Sometimes, you see, the Lord helps us by simply removing whatever is pressing up on us. Or sometimes it is the grace of God that simply supports us. You know, I want you to know that as we were singing this morning, On Christ the Solid Rock, isn't that what we were singing? And I was visiting with a man in the hospital yesterday. He's been involved in church music. And he was telling me, we talked a little bit about the hymns that we sing. And I told him how we sing old hymns and we have the hymns of the month. And he says, you know what I've done over the years, and I didn't agree with him. He said, I take the old hymns and I put a new tune to it. And he said, when you do that, then people are going to start paying attention to what the words say. But I want you to know, as the hymns that we sing, and I don't think that any of us, we sing these hymns flippantly when we sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And then that second stanza that says, through many dangerous toils and snares, I have already come. Let's be honest that we have already come, and it's grace that brought me, saved thus far, and grace will lead me home. And so sometimes the Lord, and it is the grace of God that brings us along and brings us further. But sometimes the Lord helps us by calming the storm, or sometimes the Lord calms our hearts in the middle of the storm. Secondly, in this passage is this knowledge of God, the very fact, and I don't know whether you've seen that or not, but as we read here, God is our refuge and strength. Then he says in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Then again, the Lord of hosts in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want you to know this is something that we cannot forget. Think about it. The knowledge of God, and he says, therefore, he is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And he gives us, I believe, the extreme possibilities. You know, when we were out in California, and we ended up there on Highway 1. Anybody ever been on Highway 1? That's that coastal road that runs right up the coast, all the way from Oregon down to, I guess, San Diego. It goes right along the coast. And I was telling Frankie, I said, you know, I'm not really sure about being on this road. I was just making light of it. Do you know that on Highway 1, right there, if you ever look at the fault lines that they're in California, it's right under you. And then I'm thinking about this statement, what the psalmist is saying, therefore we will not fear. And he gives the extreme, the earth, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, on that road there, you're right there. Here's the ocean and here are the mountains. And he's saying, if the earth were to open up, we will not fear. Why? Because God is in the midst of her. Now that's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? Or is it? I believe that's a lesson that the Lord will teach us. And when you think about that, that there are times that will come our way, that there is such a presence of, or the possibilities. As I was reading that, I was thinking, what was it, 2-3 years ago where that great tsunami was there in Japan? And I mean, when you look and see the power of the ocean. I want you to know it is not Mother Nature. All of these things are events that are under the sovereign superintending and permission of our Almighty God. I want you to know that. Can't get away from that. But when you see that, when you see the possibilities of the worst that can happen to us, the extremes of what happens in creation. It was a couple of years ago, in Moore, Oklahoma, where there tornadoes had gone through, where just a few years before, I mean, that same area was flattened. And I mean, you walk through that, And all you see is the rubbish of it all. And then I see there were some houses that maybe had a wall still painted, still there, and someone had painted on with a can of spray paint, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord," right there publicly for people to see. How can you do that apart from God? You can't. I mean, it is He, you see, that you recognize and realize. And so the psalmist is saying, though the extreme, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be cast in the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And I mean, we've seen it, and all you have to do, I want you to know there's something that's going on all around the place. And so the psalmist is saying, the worst that can possibly happen, yet our God is our refuge and our strength. Listen to the news. What do you think? Look at verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. When you get into an airplane anymore, and I don't know, the thought runs to your mind. I look and see what's happening in around across the world with the terrorism. I mean, look and see what's happening. I mean, we're talking about they have the YouTube sensations of beheading people and burning people alive at the stake with warnings that we are coming after you. Think about it. And when you think about the nations and the conflicts and the wars and everything that's going on around us, that aren't we concerned about that? I want you to know I'm concerned when I think about my children and my grandchildren. And as I was thinking of that, looking back in my own history, that when I was a little boy, I played in the rubbish of World War II. I want you to know, folks, there was very little left of the place where I grew up in. For me as a boy, we were explorers, and we went into the basements of buildings that had laid on top of that. There are little places and crevices you can crawl into. For me, it was an adventure. But now when you look back and you see the evil and the wickedness of, they say there were some 100 million people lost their lives in that era, in the late 30s to 1945. What about the Christian in that time? Where was he finding his hope? What about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of those few evangelical pastors that stood up for righteousness and holiness and spoke out against evil? What about this man that saw these folks there in Flossenbürg that would go out to the rock mines, and they go out 20 at the time, and 10 or 15 would come back? And what happened to those that lost their lives? What caused him to stand and to be strong for? Was it not the fact that God is our refuge, that God is our present help in trouble? Was it not that grace of God that keeps that heart, you see, trusting on Him? It has to be. He utters His voice. I want you to know we need to remember that this life is not all there is. The best is yet to come. And then one of these days, I want you to know, is all done. And then these folks who think that they are on top of the heap, they're going to say, "Rocks and hills fall on us and hide us from Him." It's going to come. Judgment and justice. The Lord tells us in His Word, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." I want you to know that They may have the machinery. We may worry about this nation with nuclear power or that. I want you to know the Lord is going to speak one of these days. He utters His voice and the earth melted. It's all going to stop. It's all going to come to a conclusion. Now, we've talked about tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and fires that we've had in our own community. We've talked about wars and rumors of wars. We see it all around us constantly. What about the conflict and the fears and the struggles that go on in here? What do you think? Do you know God's people? And many of God's people have at times suffered a great deal. It was a couple of weeks ago that you started on the Charles Haddon Spurgeon DVD, looking through Spurgeon's eyes. What a great, powerful man of God that the Lord used in a mighty way to this day still has an effect in our lives. Well, here was a man who has had all kinds of difficulties, health-wise, and then at times with depression and discouragement. You know William Cowper, who wrote the hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Do you know William Cowper was a real close compadre of John Newton? They were very close. And William Cowper had a time of anxiety and anxiousness and fears and doubts and depression of the kind that eventually he took his life. We talk about Martin Luther, that great reformer who stood before all of these that died of worms and said, "Here I stand. So help me God, I can do no other." And days later, his wife would say, "Has God died?" We have people in our midst, in our church, that go through valleys. You may be here this morning that you would, if somebody asks you, "How are you doing?" You say, "I'm doing just fine. I'm doing well. I'm doing good. I'm blessed." And yet at the same time, when you walk out of there and you're in your own world where you are with yourself and in your world, the mountains come down and the sea swallows it up and there you are. You're in a valley, in a deep valley. What about us? What about those of us that are here? Anxieties and fears and doubt. And then there's the world. And then there is the Christian world that lies to all of us, that promises us health, wealth, and prosperity. And that if you don't have the health, wealth, and prosperity, you must have a problem with your faith. You have not believed, you have not spoken it, and therefore, and in the meantime, you're binding the spirit of fear and the spirit of anxiety, and you're binding Satan, you're binding everything else around you. When we're in our own environment, our jobs, our families, our health, our relationships, our finances, our children, our husbands, and our world, who do we direct people to? When we direct them, we say, "God is our refuge." I want you to know that's what, if there is a portion of Scripture we ought to memorize, it all of that. When everything comes down to us, and Satan whispers in your ear, "What? You are a Christian, and this is what you are thinking?" Or perhaps you've dealt with a darling sin, and you have mortified it, or you thought you've mortified it and uprooted it time and time again, but there it is again, sticking up its ugly head. You'll never get over that. then sometimes in our lives there are things that come our way, and it's like Job's messengers. Now, you know, we talk a lot about Job. There was none that was like Job, an upright man. He worshipped God. He offered sacrifices for himself and for his family. And Job lost everything. His wife said, "Why don't you just lay down and curse God, lay down and die?" And then you remember how Job, in the course of all of it, he speaks of the fact that he cursed the day when he was born. I'm thinking of a man like Asaph that looks at himself and he looks at the world, and I mean the world, they have it all together. They have the fine cars, they have the financial security, they have the wine, the women, and the song. They live in leisure. They can travel anywhere they want to. And here is Asaph, a follower, a believer of the Lord. And he looks at the world, he looks at himself, and he said, "I well nigh slipped." But then where does he come and where does he find his help? And the things that he struggles with, and I want you to know something, folks, when we end up in difficult times with anxieties and fears and doubts and all kinds of stuff, I want you to know, may the Lord, we wrestle with that, but then may we find ourselves with the living God that we remember now. And though this or though that, though this, but I am your God and your refuge, and I'm in the midst of you. That you come to that place. And the thing that Asaph had struggled with there in Psalm 73 was the fact of the things that he was thinking about. It was too painful, he said. The things that I was thinking about. And I think this is what happens. We think about, here's what we think about in our world, and I don't think it's anything new about that. People say, "Well, if God loves you, why is this happening to you?" Isn't that right? You go from one valley to another one. But what is it that you learn in all of those valleys? Don't you learn, when it's all done, don't you learn simply to trust in Him? Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what Thou art. What do you think? And then Asaph, when he comes to the place and he says, when I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Thou hast said them, he's talking about those who didn't. These people, they didn't even have any problems dying. He said, look at them with their fat eyes. They're in their prosperity. They've got everything coming together. They can eat, they die, and they don't have any problems even dying. Then he said, I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Thou hast set them into slippery places. And then he comes to the place in the end, in the middle of this Psalm 73, that whom do I have in heaven but thee? Is that not what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 46, when he says in this passage, in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Does that remind you of something? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they shall comfort me. We need to remember that. Now, I want you to know, we're not talking about that these valleys and that these things are not real. They are. You know what I'm saying? Suffering is suffering. Grief is grief. Pain is pain. Valleys are valleys. There are sometimes that we don't even have a sense, the knowable sense of the presence of God in our lives. So what do then? Well, we trust anyway, don't we? And trust we do. Do you remember Jonah? There was another character, another case in Old Testament people that this man was swallowed up by a whale. And this man, 3 days after he's inside this belly of this whale, 3 days later, he begins to call upon the Lord. And then he says, by reason of my afflictions, I cried unto thee, and thou heardest me. And then he goes on to the fact of the pit, the depths, the misery that he is in. And then at the end of the prayer, he comes to the place, and he says, salvation belongeth to the Lord. I want to say to us and to all of us that are here, that the Lord of hosts is with us. And the valleys that at times that we go through, if it's the loss of a loved one, of a wife, if it's loss of health, if there are fears and anxieties or doubts or whatever it might be, one of the lessons that we need to learn, and learn it real quick, Lord, help us in that sense to run and to flee to you and to your presence and know that you are there. The New Testament portion of Scripture of that is really found in the book of Philippians. Very familiar passage. Philippians chapter 4, and there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your moderations be made known unto all men. The Lord is where? He's at hand. What does that mean? That means he's right there. He's right here. He's right here. And then I want you to look and see what he does. And I mean, we can probably interject right here when he says, between verses 5 and 6, though the mountains be cast into the sea, whatever possibly can, or whatever there is in our lives that troubles us to the point of pressing us down, I think we can interject that between verses 5 and 6. The Lord is at hand. He means let your moderations be made known. In other words, let your self-control be made known. The Lord is at hand. I want you to know, when Christians suffer. And they do suffer. But they don't suffer not like people who have no hope or have no concrete anchor for their souls. And then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do you think? Look what he's saying. And the peace of God shall do what? Keep our what? Our hearts and our minds. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's the kind of thing, it's a God thing he does. The heart and the mind. At times our mind may be in a place, but the heart's not there. Or the heart is just in opposition. But when we bring all of this, what is that actually saying to us? Well, it means that God is in the midst of her. And she shall not be moved. And God shall help her on that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so because of that, he's saying to us in this psalm, lastly, is that not a hard lesson? And he tells us here in the midst of that, be still and know that I am God. Amen. What do you think? Why? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. Remember that hymn, and let me just quote it and we're done. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe, His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide? Our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devil's filth should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fill Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go. I want to know, that is a powerful statement, isn't it? This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, His kingdom is forever. And then the last two verses of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want to ask you something. What's the foundation that we stand on? You remember that song that we sing, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord? It's laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Amen. Fear not, I'm with you. Oh, be not dismayed. The Lord our God will still give thee aid. He'll strengthen thee, help thee, cause thee to stand, upheld by His omnipotent righteous hand. Listen to me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, every one of us, I know every one of us, every one of us, we have difficult valleys and difficult paths that we're on, every one of us. Sometimes, I know sometimes we're not willing to open up our hearts and say, here's what I'm facing. But we need to remember that, each and every one of us at times go through. And would it not be good for us to occasionally when we know that people are going through valleys, would we not put our arms around them and remind each other, let's look to the Lord, that He is our refuge. He is our very present help in time of trouble. And even if the worst were to come, that we can say He's in the midst, He's in our midst. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep our hearts and minds. Oh, may the Lord so bless these truths to us as we live our lives on this narrow path. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come and we pray. Take these truths and write them on our hearts. Remind us that there are times we're just like Martin Luther, where we communicate with even words and even with our body language that you're not close at all. That's how we communicate. We thank you, Lord, for Katharina that reminded him. That, Lord, we thank you for this hymn. We thank you for this psalm. We thank you for these truths. Upon these truths, we stand and live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.